we on?
Yeah.
Going hot is right and boiling. So good evening, everyone. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. What day is it? It's Tuesday. Tuesday, my favorite day of the week. Always, always my favorite day of the week because I get to be on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I get to play and talk and be curious and engaged and talk to engaging people on engaging topics and subjects that many of you might find boring, but they're not. The key tonight is to make insurance sexy. So tonight we have Iman Richardson from State Farm.
That's Iman, correct.
Say hello to
hello.
The people.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Hello. So tonight I'm talking to Iman Richardson from State Farm, and he's going to give you the 411 on insurance. His motto is, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
100%.
Because if you don't have it, you're going to be like, huh. Anyway, I just want to give you an update on my week, right? So I did my lunch and learn today. I was so excited. It was really good. I've been planning that for the last 5 weeks. And that was with NABO, the National Association of Women Business Owners. And so that went down really well. We had a packed house. And I want to tell you about something that I saw really, really creepy this week in Brooklyn. So on Sunday, I'm coming back from the Whole Foods, which is called Whole Foods 365, which I'm not too thrilled with. I'm very disappointed.
What is that?
Whole Foods 365 is, it's a cheaper, a cost-effective version of Whole Foods.
Okay.
So they don't have a deli, they have refrigerator, right? They don't have meat. You know, you everything's in refrigerator. Like there's no butcher, there's no deli, there's none of the, there's no fishmonger.
So this is like the bodega of Whole Foods.
Hello, that is exactly what I said. This is like a big bodega.
Chopped cheese,
right? And so exactly. Uh-huh. And so I was like, you know, my neighbor was like, oh, let's go. So I go, and I'm like, this is like a big bodega. And so I said to the guy, is this it? He goes, yeah. I'm like, this is what all the fuss is about?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah. I'm like, so on the way back from, you know, Whole Foods 365, which should be called Whole Food Bodega, I see this animal walking in somebody's front yard. It's just lumbering along. And I'm like, whoa, that's a big ass cat. It's a huge cat. But no, this cat had black eyes. And a black snout.
What?
It was a freaking raccoon.
Really?
I saw a raccoon on a Delphi. I thought I was going to die. I was like, oh my God, it's a raccoon. They're dangerous, aren't they?
Yes, they can be.
Right, if you corner them. They're not dangerous?
Every animal is dangerous, I feel like.
But oh, that's just my God. This raccoon was huge. He's eating good.
Oh, yeah?
He was huge. I mean, like literally, he was like this big and he just lumbered. Like down the street, and then I said to my friend, that was a raccoon. And she said, where? And I was like, over there. And I'm screaming, and this man's like, what's going on? I said, it's a raccoon. And he goes, where? And it's like, oh, and he can see his little fat butt just jump off the pavement. I've never seen anything like that. I'd heard there was a raccoon in the neighborhood.
But you've never actually.
But that was last year.
It's been eaten since.
No, but there's probably more since last year. Because if there's one raccoon, there's got to be a male and a female.
More than likely, yes.
I don't want to see them. That's like seeing a fox. I hate fox.
Really?
We have fox in London. It just makes me get hairballs.
Really?
Yeah, it freaks me out. They're all over the place. They're like rodents. They're like, I'd rather see a rat than a fox.
You got me there.
I'm used to rats now. A fox, I can't. They're scary. Anyway. That less of me and more of you.
Okay.
So, Iman, please tell me a little bit about you. Before we get into the nitty gritty of insurance, I want to know about you. I want to know where you're from. I want to know, you know, who you are. Like, you know, I want to know about the baby. I want to know if she's keeping... You look good. You don't look tired.
That's thanks to my wife.
I want to know how that's going. I want to know how fatherhood has hit you and, you know, like, what's that all about?
Sure. So I'm Iman. I was born and raised in the Bronx. I've been here my whole life. Yeah, there you go. BX. I went to school 3 hours away in Binghamton University. That's where I met my wife.
Did you used to
commute? No, never. Stayed on campus. That's pretty much where I met most of my lifelong friends. Met my wife there. We weren't dating. We were just friends for a very long time. Got together much, much later in life, near our 30s, and decided to take the relationship to the next step. And then 5 years later, we were married, had a child, and everything else that comes with it.
So how old is the baby now?
She is about to be 6 months.
Wow.
It flies by. It's insane how much they go from just like this blob.
Nothing. Yeah.
And then she's rolling around. She's starting to crawl. She's amazing. She's the best thing ever.
Becoming a human being.
Right.
And what is it like for you being a daddy? I know you can't wait till she says that.
It's like I can't and I can, because the minute that she does say it, it's like, oh man, she's getting older now.
It's never gonna stop.
Right. It's never. And then she's gonna be like, all right, when she says dad, that's gonna turn into I hate you, dad, at some point.
Oh my god, no, let's not go there. I'm not your friend.
Right.
Because you haven't given her something she wanted.
Sure, of course. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to be a friend. I'm your father. You're not getting it. fatherhood is amazing. It's nothing can prepare you for it. Mm-hmm. You can try to as much as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. But it's an extremely rewarding experience. Mm-hmm. And it can feel terrifying if you allow it to. Mm-hmm. But mostly it's just fun. And it's like a great thing.
So what has it done to, like, when you saw that baby delivered, what was that experience for you? Did you cry?
Yes. I was overcome with emotion. Uh-huh. I've never cried at anything that didn't hurt me or make me sad before. Uh-huh. So that was a brand new experience for me. Uh-huh. Literally burst into tears as she came out, both me and my mother-in-law. And I'm like, why? I was thinking in my head, like, why am I crying? Why am I crying?
Well, you were moved.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Beyond.
Yes. Yeah. Because of her and because of my wife. Right. Because she just went through this.
Yeah, she just did that. She just created another human being out of her body.
Right. Which is crazy if you think about it. It happens every day, but it still seems insane.
I think it's quite incredible, but I didn't get that gene. I didn't get that, like, bringing it out, like, that gene, like, that for me was like, not going to happen.
Okay.
That's not going to happen. I will love up your baby, but I am not making one.
I hear you.
That was just like, mm-mm.
If you know what you want, that's all that matters.
I didn't want to do that. Uh-huh. That was not for me, but I think it's really amazing. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. So, now tell me, how did you, I want to know, what kind of jobs did you have before you actually got into, you know, the Wonder Job?
Sure. Well, pretty much my entire career, I say I grew up at Bloomberg.
So you worked for Bloomberg?
His company. Mm-hmm. So straight out of college, I went to work for Bloomberg LPs, his like financial data company. Mm-hmm. And there I worked in sales and management for probably about a decade. Mm-hmm. When I joined the firm, he had already became mayor. So he was no longer associated with it. It was a different CEO there. It was under a different regime. And towards the end of my career there, that's when he came back. He had stopped being mayor for what felt like a really long time. Mm-hmm. And every interview, everything he came back and said, every meeting was like, oh, yeah, you should get fired. It's the best thing ever. Like, you should start your own thing. Everybody should do it. You know, look at me. I got, you know, kicked out of Solomon with my severance. I started this company. And even me, it doesn't even matter that I wasn't here and the company still did really well. So I heard of enough of that. And I was just basically like,
you know. Was it something that he said all the time?
Literally. Well, here's the thing. To me, it felt that way.
Right.
But it's kind of like, you know, when you're going to buy a brand new car and you're like, I want this car. And then you see that car all
everywhere.
The time.
Yes. So it's your reticular activator. That's what we call it in coaching. So you set a plan, or you speak something and mm-hmm. then you start to see it, or you think it's the best thing since sliced bread. Nobody's ever thought of this thing.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, like, it's everywhere.
Right. Right. So could it have been that, or could it be actually, but I have been thinking about it for so mm-hmm. long, for such some time of, I really want to strike out on my own and right. do my own thing. Mm-hmm. And it was a great career, and I learned a lot from there. And being that you take on so much, you start to say to yourself, you know, I could do this.
Right.
I can do something for myself. And that's what led me to that decision.
So what was it like the day that you decided, I'm out, I'm going, I'm going to do it, I'm going to jump?
The day that I decided, I caught up with a friend who is also a State Farm agent. Mm-hmm. And you know how it is when you catch up.
Did you know what you wanted to do?
No. Here's what I knew. I knew that I wanted to run and have my own business, something mm-hmm. that was all my own effort, mm-hmm. right?
I put the sweat off your own back.
There you go, right? But I didn't know what that thing was.
Right.
I knew what I had strong interest in. And after a while, you
and
get...
And what were some of the strong interests?
Well, I just thought about the stuff that I like to do without being... paid to do it, right? So so one of the things that I'm always interested in is personal finance, right? But not only just my own personal finance, but how I can help other people with their personal finance.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things that I've always noticed is that in my group of friends or even their friends, mm-hmm. I was always considered like a point person to come to. Right. So even in the very beginning, when we first all graduated college, most of the time people's first interaction with the market is when they get hired at a job and they have some sort of retirement account, mm-hmm. some sort mm-hmm. of investment account, and mm-hmm. it's 401ks or 403bs mm-hmm. or these different things. Mm-hmm. And I was the person that everybody came to. Iman, what should I do about this? Iman, what should I do about that? And me just volunteering, like, what are you guys doing about this? How are you saving? How are you investing? Mm-hmm. What are you doing with your insurance? So that was one of the things that I thought of. There were a couple of other ideas, but you're always kind of saying to yourself, will I be able to be successful and be able to get the same compensation like I'm getting now in my mm-hmm. current career?
So what was your interpretation at that time? Or should we take a break because we're getting to that moment? So what was your interpretation of success?
That's a good question.
What did it look like? I would say, what did it look like? What did it feel like? And what would it taste like?
Sure. I would say being able to do work that interests me, mm-hmm. that had me at compensation that was the same, if not better, mm-hmm. That gave me a great work-life balance to be mm-hmm. able to spend time with my family and still, you know, do things that interest me outside of work.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. So we're going to go into that a little bit deeper, but we're going to take a break.
Okay.
So we'll be back in 2 flicks of a monkey's tail.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Noreen Sumter, and I'm with Iman Richardson from State Farm, and we're making insurance sexy. So, hello, family. You can call in at 877-480-4120. And, like, if you were talking about finances as a young boy, mm-hmm. right, that means you must have been an egghead.
Yes. My wife says I'm a nerd.
So now you you're at work and everybody's coming to you with their finance questions.
Sure.
You're giving advice, solicited and unsolicited.
Right.
You're just doing your thing because uh-huh. that's what we do.
Right.
As entrepreneurs, this is where we get our practice.
Sure.
Right. And so so now it's that day and you decide to give your notice or uh-huh. jump or whatever yep. you did. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
I wanted to make sure that everybody on my team, because I was managing a team at that point,
uh-huh.
I wanted to be certain that everybody on my team knew what they needed to accomplish to mm-hmm. get the compensation that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like a big meeting before I left with everyone on the team, sort of reviewing everything that all the objectives that they needed handed out.
Right.
So that was my primary concern, was making sure everyone was taken care of, because I knew I was going to be leaving them right. essentially. And
leaving the flock.
Yeah. And the way it works, where I previously was employed, when you give your notice, that's it. It's not like, oh, 2 weeks you hang out and you get a cake or something like that and you train the next person.
Get out.
Right. It's like, okay, thank you. Have a nice day. See ya. So right. that's why I wanted to make sure all those things were taken care of first. I gave my notice to my manager at the time, who's super sweet and very nice
mm-hmm.
And a great leader. And she was like, wow, I'm really sorry to see you go. Is there anything that we did wrong or we messed up? And I was like, no, it's just my time. It's
right.
you know, my time for me to go. So I felt very nervous sending mm-hmm. it because, like I said, I've been there for 10 years, but I felt it was an excitement. You know what yeah. I mean? Of I'm
it was,
going
it,
to do
was
my
it
own
like,
thing.
It's like a knowing, right? Was it like a knowing that you, was it, would you say it was like that?
It's funny that you put it that way. Yes, that's what I would say it felt like.
Right. But yeah. it's a knowing, but it's also unsure, but it's a knowing.
Right.
So it doesn't really have, because it hasn't been anywhere before. You haven't experienced that. But now that you're, now that you're in that space,
mm-hmm.
it's like you just know that you're doing the right thing for you.
Absolutely.
Awesome. That is so cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. So did you know that, where were you going to go, or did you have it planned?
I always have a plan.
Okay.
So right. I always have a plan. So yeah. So when I gave my notice, I already knew that I was accepted and I got a posting and that I was going to be the, you know, next State Farm agent in Brooklyn. So,
right. So this is your business.
This is my business. This is my agency. And that's the way it works with State Farm.
So now tell me how, you know, like for the listeners out there, somebody that wants to have their own, just walk me through the process.
Okay.
Like, so, you know, here you are. Is it like a franchise?
It is, but it isn't.
Okay.
You basically have like a contract with the, you know, corporate,
mm-hmm.
right? So some franchises, usually you have to pay like franchise fees mm-hmm. and you have to buy into it mm-hmm. and they want you to open multiple, mm-hmm. you know, like these days, even if you want to open a Dunkin' Donuts, they want you to open like 3 or 4 and all these different types of things. State mm-hmm. Farm isn't like that. You don't have to buy into it. You don't have to, you know, give them money. Of course, you have to make an investment because mm-hmm. it's your business mm-hmm. and there's things that you have to do. But really, it's a selection process. You mm-hmm. have to get chosen.
Right.
Right. So there's this like exams that you have to take and personality tests. And then you have to do a mock business plan and present it to leadership. And mm-hmm. then they show you all the zip codes where they want to open State Farms. And then you got to pick one and then mm-hmm. go in front of like a panel of people. It's a process. It's a serious process.
It's like American Idol.
It's something. And it really prepares you and puts you on the mindset that you need to be like, okay, I'm really going to be running this business.
Right.
Sure, I have the backing of the firm, but you know, it's on you. It's sink or swim kind of
right.
deal. Fortunately, they give you, you know, a lot of resources to help you make sure that you swim, because they're right. not going to put you in a position where you're going to fail from the outset.
Right.
So that's really what it's like. So I had been through all of that prior to giving my notice.
Right.
Oh, I didn't okay. just give my notice and be like, oh, I'm going to go do this thing, and didn't even
right
get picked for it. So that's how the process works. Yeah,
so it's a big deal.
Yes, it is, very much so,
because I just thought, like, for me it's like all of a sudden it's like a pop-up, oh, State Farm.
No, not at all. They want their brand associated with the right candidate.
Kind of people.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's very, very interesting. So now you have this office.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So you have to staff it.
Yes.
So this is all on you.
Yes.
So you have. So now, here's a question that I want to know, that like a lot of people who leave jobs after being at a job for decades or so, mm-hmm. it's almost like, did you have to purge and re-script yourself?
Yes, I did.
And what was that like?
Because you're coming from a corporation of like 5 or 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. It's very different from your startup that you have. There's certain things that you know you liked really well and you want to keep. Mm-hmm. And there's certain things where you're like, I don't want that to be a part of the culture of my business, mm-hmm. right? So coming from a corporate environment, there were certain things that I wanted to have available for people from the outset. Right. And I wanted to give them the opportunity to grow.
Right.
The thing I love most about my agency in particular and being at State Farm is the fact that at Bloomberg, I could have been there for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, wherever. Mm-hmm. And it's not like Mike would have turned to me at some point and been like, right, okay, you get to open the next Bloomberg in Virginia or right. Australia or something like that. Right. And this one's going to be yours.
Right.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
The greatest goal that I have set out for myself is giving an opportunity to one of my team members to then open and own their own State right. Farm. Right?
Passing it forward.
Exactly. So, you know, I want to continue to fuel that entrepreneurship. And that's the type of people that I'm looking for my agency. People right. with an entrepreneurial mindset.
Right.
So, you know, I'm showing them how to run the business, the ins and out of it, starting from the ground up, to then give them the opportunity to go and open their own.
Right. So one of the things that you have here on your little sheet that I tried to put away... put together you're really okay. What are you passionate about? Family, yours,
right,
my team and customers, etc., etc.
Uh-huh.
So that plays into people that work for you. You don't want them to just be worker bees in your camp
sure.
or your hive for the rest of their lives. You want them, if this is something that they want, you want them to move on and create their own.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's awesome. So now you've got this, what's the most difficult thing that has happened to you since you have been, you know, you're all excited and you're uh-huh. like, oh, I'm doing it, right?
Yeah.
And then, boom, something happens. What's the worst thing that has happened to you?
The worst thing that's, I mean, there's been so many things that has okay. happened. I mean.
What was the first one? Because that's always the killer.
The first memorable one was half the power in the store didn't work.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, so on one wall, all the outlets stopped working. And of course, that's the outlet where all the computers are plugged right. in. So everybody has to like take out their laptops off the thing. It's running on the battery. We're running extension cords to the other side of the office.
Right.
That they go from having two big monitors to like one little laptop screen mm-hmm. and everybody's still typing away. I'm calling around to friends like, does anybody know an electrician? A buddy of mine, Mike, like recommended an app to me and I went on there and the electrician overcharged me, but he got it fixed and it was like 2 days. I mean, like everything, the gates stopped working, anything that you can think of
right.
happened.
Right.
And at the time you're just kind of like, oh, that's part of the fun of it.
Right.
If you approach it with that type of mindset, it's not as stressful. And you know, like all these little things, they're small things, are just to test you to be a better mm-hmm. person, a better entrepreneur, a better, mm-hmm. You know.
How do you, what's your thought and, you know, or experience of failing?
I think you want to fail fast and you want to fail often.
Right.
That's the way I see it. And that's part of the reason why I took that leap, right? And decided like, okay, I have this career, but I don't, success to me means failure.
Right.
You have to fail in order to win. So you might as well just get it out of the way quickly so you can learn from it and,
right.
and move on.
Right. So there's a question that just popped into my mind that I was thinking about, but it popped out. So it'll pop back in again.
Uh-huh.
And it was something to the mind of, you're doing this business. It's like everybody wants to go out into business, right? And
sure
so
they do.
Everybody wants to fire their bosses.
Right.
Right? But what was your experience? Were you just wanted to move on? It wasn't like you were trying to fire anybody.
No, I literally had this conversation with someone the other day, and I was like, you know, entrepreneurship right now is sexy, right? Everybody wants to go out and put CEO and their title on their card or in their Instagram bio, whatever the case may be. And it's like, no, it's not as cool as you think. It's hard work.
Yes.
And it's not the thing that you think it is where I'm like, oh, I'm doing it now. And I'm going to have yachts and mansions and drive fast cars and everything else you see on social media. It's a grind.
It's a grind.
And everything falls on you. It's 100% your responsibility. You no longer have anybody to blame. Like, oh, my boss is this and the culture
well,
is that.
Well, you can. You can do it like this. My boss is such a yes, I know.
Right.
You can have that mirror conversation with yourself. But, you know, nobody cares. Nobody's listening, right?
And that's the thing I was literally saying to someone the other day. Nobody cares.
Right.
You just got to get on with it.
That's right.
So
it's your, you chose this.
Yes.
You absolutely, and that's the thing. A lot of people choose to be an entrepreneur, but they don't choose all that comes with it.
Right.
You know, all the power's not working that you have to go in and fix. The power's not working on a job. You just coast.
Right.
You just chill.
What's going on with this place? Why is the power not working?
Exactly. Uh-huh. You know, or things are not working the way that you want on a job. You just chill. But and when it's your business, you're losing money.
Absolutely.
You know, your clients are not reaching you. You don't know who's calling.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what is that frame of mind that you've taken on for yourself? Because now, like, you're dealing with your customers, you're dealing with staff.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you and who have you become so that you can manage this, all these things that you've taken on?
Prior to me sort of going on this path, there was a book that was very powerful to me, and it's called The Obstacle is the Way.
Mm-hmm.
And I really took that on. It did something for me, and being that, you know, don't try and avoid the things that are hard.
Mm-hmm.
You should look forward to them and actually go into it.
Lean in.
Right. And that was something that really changed my mindset and the way I approach life.
Right.
And this is the thing that's the biggest obstacle to me. Every day it's a different thing. And it's like half of me is frustrated and half of me is happy.
Right.
To go into it. So, I mean, that's
and what's the frustration?
Because you always wish to move faster, but you know that that's not the real way.
No.
You got to be patient and just struggle through it.
You got to hit each corner.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's not faster. Time's moving anyway.
Exactly.
And you don't really, it's not like you're going to look back and see how far you've come. You'll just see how far you come by the experience that you're having. But you don't look stressed. You look very rested for a man that's just had a new baby and is running a company and stuff and dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
But well, I want to go back to the, oh, do we need to take a break? Yes. I really want to go back to that conversation of what is success to you?
Uh-huh.
Right? Because everybody has their own interpretation of what success is.
Sure.
And like you just mentioned just now, it's not necessarily the big mansion and the fast car and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has, to some people it's that.
Right.
You know, everybody has to have the experience of like, they want to do the fast car. I don't like fast cars. But they wanted to do the fast car. Mm-hmm. They wanted to buy that car, so they did it. So they experienced it and then they like kind of moved on. But there's a like the young version of what success is, and then there's a version of the royalty version of what success is. So I want to find out what that is for you when you come back. So
okay.
We'll be right back. We'll take another.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Noreen Sumter, and we're back from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm going to give the number out to Iman's family and his friends who are watching and give you an opportunity to call in and just say hey if you want to. So the number is 877-480-4120. Call in if you have your own insurance question. So let's answer the success question.
Sure.
And then we're going to dig into the pie of insurance.
Okay. All right.
So what is the success for you?
I've actually been thinking about that a lot more recently, mm-hmm. especially with my daughter coming into the picture and being a part of our life. So, mm-hmm. you know, right now, you know, we're making sacrifices. We live in a one-bedroom co-op in the mm-hmm. Bronx, and it's the three of us. And my wife always says, we don't have to move anytime soon. It's not like she needs a lot of room.
Right.
And I just think about how happy I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have some big palatial place and a whole bunch of heap of room for her to play or
a whole heap of room.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have the newest. Right. Well,
give
I don't
have a box and she's happy.
You just think you need these things and they're just things. So, you know, success to me means that every Friday I get to stay home and just be with my daughter.
Right.
I don't have to answer to anybody. I didn't have to ask anyone to do it. I didn't have to put in a request to HR.
Right.
My wife and I had a discussion, and she was like, yeah, I think you're going to have to stay home with her on Fridays. I can work from home on Thursday. I don't work from home on Friday. I just don't go in.
Right.
And it's her and I. That to me means success.
Right.
That work-life balance choice that I decided I wanted to have.
Right.
That's one thing that means success to me, to be mm-hmm. able to just do that and just tell the team, like, I'm not coming in. Figure it out.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't put a price on that.
No.
Because those babies grow up really fast.
Very fast.
You know, so you get to see the shifts in her every Friday,
mm-hmm.
every day. But like Friday, you get to spend time with her.
Yes.
That's valuable.
Absolutely.
What else is success for you?
I would be lying if I didn't say success has to do with compensation,
uh-huh.
you know, because there are things that you want to achieve,
right.
goals that you want to set out, and a foundation that you want to set for your family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's certainly a part of it. And, you know, beyond just, you know, taking care of your own family, but being able to bring knowledge to the people around you, right? Your customers and your friends.
Right.
And those two things actually start to overlap over time. Customers become friends and friends become
absolutely
customers, right? So, you know, the thing that always drove me was helping other people.
Right.
That's why personal finance was so important to me is because right. this is practical advice that can help people, right? So, I mean, anybody that knows me personally is I always just want to see if there's any way that I can help you
right.
out.
Right? How many times a day do you use that word? Is better to have it? Then
you know, actually, my father-in-law gave that to me.
Right.
So he used to own the body shop.
Uh-huh.
And when I was starting out in the State Farm thing, he's like, you know, you really got to join BNI because he right. was a part of a BNI chapter. Actually, used to my wife always talks about it. She's like, he used to wake me up before high school and drag me to this meeting in the morning. And it was like the crack of dawn. And I used to sleep in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, you know, there was an insurance guy in there. And I still remember his tagline. I was like, really? I was like, what is it? And he was like, insurance is better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So from then,
so you bootlegged.
I took it. And I spoke to that guy, too. Nice guy.
You did?
Yeah.
Is
nice
he still
guy.
In insurance?
No, I think he's retired at
oh,
this point.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So it's good. You can
yes.
use his tagline.
Yeah.
That's good. You recycled it.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. I was like, so you don't mind if I borrow this, right?
So, Lat, tell us about insurance. Now, for me, ever since being in America and uh-huh. having my own spaces,
sure.
I've always taken out insurance.
Right.
And it was somebody, I used to have Allstate. I have State mm-hmm. Farm now because of you.
Right.
And somebody had said to me that even if you live in an apartment and you have orange crates, boxes
right, uh-huh.
for furniture,
sure.
you should have insurance.
Very true.
Right? And so from that point onwards, I took out insurance. I always had insurance on my rentals
mm-hmm.
and I've always had insurance on my property.
Right.
Because it just gives me a sense of security,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's why, what does it provide for clients?
I mean, that's exactly what you're saying. That sense of security, it's a peace of mind.
Right.
Right. And there's nothing else out there that's like it, where you can, it doesn't feel that way, but you can pay pennies on the dollars for something if a mishap does happen or a catastrophe does happen, that everything is going to be taken care of.
Right.
Right. So, you know, my agency in particular, as you know, we do, you know, auto insurance, home insurance, business, fire, health, all those different things. So something as simple as you get in an accident in a car, and instead of you having to shell out 10, 12 grand, you know, you pay the deductible and the insurance is going to take care of the rest.
Right.
Right. So, that, I mean, that's the kind of thing. Did you know that you actually don't, you legally do not have to have insurance in the state of New York?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You can take out a bond, but you got to put down like $25,000. Who has $25,000 to just put down in case they get in an accident? So that's why people elect to get insurance. Right. Okay, it's $200, $300, $400, whatever the amount is a month, but it's still less than if you were to injure somebody in an accident and have to pay their medical bills. So really, it's a peace of mind so that you don't go belly up in case something happens.
I always say to my friends, if you come to my house and you hurt yourself, you fall over, I'm going to say you were drinking really hard. You were drinking really hard, and when I came in here, you smelled of alcohol, and you
got to set people up.
No, one of the things you do have coverage is somebody hurts themselves in your apartment, because one of the stories I think I remember you saying was some friends, they were friends, a couple, something happened to the kid in the apartment.
Yep.
Don't quote me.
It was a kid's party.
Mm-hmm.
Invite neighborhood and friends over. They have a trampoline in the back. When the kid is jumping on it, he jumps off, falls off. I don't know if his leg gets stuck or something like that. Ends up breaking an arm. The parents, you know, oh, it's an accident, whatever. Okay. ER, ambulance ride, all that stuff. The parents whose child broke the arm, they ended up suing the other parents. Right. This was at your house. This was a party. It was an unsafe environment. You're liable. You are at risk. Now, if they didn't have insurance, they have to now hire an attorney,
right,
go to court, do all these different things. But because they have insurance, they literally call up the company, put in a claim. The insurance lawyers take care of it. They don't have to show up to court every single day, maybe the one or two times that they tell them to come. And whatever the payout might be, it's not like they have to come out of pocket.
Right.
They've been paying for the insurance for it, and they're going to settle it for them.
Right.
So, just something as simple as that you would never think of.
Right.
That's included on your policy.
And then also you have things like if they stole my bike is like $1,500. So if my bike got stolen, I do have a deductible of $500, but still.
I mean, it's better than
$1,500. Uh-huh. But that's if I'm riding in the street and somebody stole it.
Sure.
Right. I didn't put it as a deductible on my phone because it was like, was it? My phone was $500-$600. I would have only got $100. So that's not worth putting it through.
Yeah.
But there is, there was in my neighborhood, I just couldn't be bothered to go through it.
Uh-huh.
There is in my neighborhood an organization that you could actually make a claim and they'll give you there's some of that stuff in the community. Mm. I don't remember what it's called, but I did do the research and I saw that if I put a claim towards them and they said, yes, write us the claim and we'll take care of it. But I was just like, I don't have time for that shit.
All right.
You know, like that. But so what else does insurance cover?
I think
what's the worst situation that you've ever, you know, experienced as an insurance agent where, you know, somebody's house burned down?
You get an email or a call in the middle of the night and it's like such and such lost their home. You know, it's mom and dad, two kids, a newborn baby and a dog.
Right.
And the entire house is burned down. Now, what do you do? Right. So it's, 2 a.m. in the morning and it's getting these people lodging, getting them food, getting them brand new clothes, getting the kids situated, how they're going to get to school, how the parents going to get to work, all those things. And having somebody or one entity to coordinate all of that, along with all the extra hassle of what am I supposed to do about my home now?
Right.
You know, the insurance takes care of that. And State Farm is very good at having the resources.
State Farm
to do
is
that.
Awesome at doing that, and right. I'll tell you why. My girlfriend has State Farm insurance. She's a bit of a nut anyway, but it's another story. She had State Farm, and it was wintertime, and it was one of these really bad winters where everything had frozen.
Sure.
There was an apartment on top of hers where there was nobody living in it, so the pipes weren't running, and everything was just frozen. The radiators were frozen.
Right.
She came home from work one day, and her apartment was literally flooded.
Right.
Like flooded, like Noah's Ark flooded.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so what happened was State Farm, they put her up in first in a hotel.
Okay.
For I think a week or two.
Uh-huh.
And then they found her an apartment, and down to toothbrush, they took right. care of it. Like
sure.
everything. They put her in a gorgeous apartment. She stayed there for a couple of months.
Uh-huh.
So we used to go over for a staycation because it was really nice.
Right.
And it was like right on the river, and it was gorgeous, uh-huh. right? High ceilings and lovely gym downstairs, swimming
right.
pool, the whole nine yards. I was like, hello, vacation.
Right. Sure, sure.
Right. And, but they gave it towels, and they gave every little thing that mm-hmm. she could possibly have needed to
sure.
make her life comfortable. And that's why I switched to State Farm.
There you go.
Because I know Allstate, but my faith, even though they took care of me, because uh-huh. when I lived in Washington Avenue, a Daily News truck crashed into my building.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if it like had a hairline fracture in my wall. I don't know. But they gave me money, and
okay.
we repainted and stuff like that. But I didn't have, I didn't feel 100% confident
uh-huh.
in their ability. So I shifted to State Farm.
Okay.
But they really took care of her. And I, you know, State, what's the theme song? What's the jingle? State Farm is?
No, it's, damn, this is bad. I just caught a brain freeze. I only know my own motto.
It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
Yeah, there you go. Like a good neighbor.
Like a good neighbor. State Farm is here. Like better than a bloody neighbor. Really? We'll be right back. Better than a bloody neighbor.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And so I want to ask you, you know, in insurance, there are certain things, you know, okay. Insurance is really difficult to maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of paper, a lot of paper.
Right.
And, you know, the average person today has the attention span of a tick.
Sure.
Right, with social media and all this stuff, we want it quick and dirty.
Right.
So there are things that are covered that we don't know that are covered. Can you give us some insight as to what's covered these days?
Sure. Well, in terms of home insurance, especially a big one that's in New York, like one thing that is not automatically included with policies, but one of the things that we always include with a policy is like backup of sewer and drain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, backing up of pipes and all that type of stuff in the basements, flooding them out with sewage and all types of grimy, nasty stuff that you don't want.
I just had a friend that happened to.
Really?
And she said that she got another adjuster to look at it and she said that she shouldn't have done that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Sewer and doo-doo.
Yeah. Not nice. Mm-mm. Not good stuff. Mm-mm. You know, other things like identity restoration that, you know, we put that on all of our home insurance policies. So, you know, with the, what was it, Equifax, mm-hmm. with the scare and them getting hacked and mm-hmm. everything like that, mm-hmm. People are signing up for all these different credit monitoring mm-hmm. services and things like that. But the thing you really got to worry about is when your identity gets stolen, which it has a high potential to get stolen, is how do you restore it?
Right.
How do you get it back? Who's going to fight for you to do it? Who's going to invest the time and the money? That's the thing, because everybody has their own life that they have to take care of.
Right.
And the insurance can do that for you.
So that is that something that's on your policy that we don't know because we have attention spans?
That's something that if you have a good agent, they would make sure to automatically include that in your home insurance policy. And that's something that we do at my agency.
Okay, so you just hit on something. What classifies a good agent? What would you say a good agent is? Or what makes you a good agent?
Well, the first thing is someone that cares, right? They got to be empathetic. So they care about protecting the things that are most important to you. That's the first thing that makes a good agent. And then them having a conversation with you, right? Really trying to figure out what it is that makes you tick or the thing it is that you're trying to protect.
Right.
Those are the things that's going to make a good agent, because you can tell that they're invested in what you want and they're going to try and figure out what your needs are.
Right.
And a great agent is going to figure out what your needs are when you may not even be able to articulate what you need.
Give me one that I didn't know I needed.
One that we talk about people too much is life insurance.
Right.
Life insurance, especially people that have, you know, they work at like a white collar job or a corporate job that gives them life insurance through work. And they're like, oh, I don't need it. I got it through work. I'm fine. When you talk about life insurance with anybody, the first thing that they think about is death. It's not life.
Right.
Right. So it's already a difficult conversation to have. So a lot of people stray away from it.
Right.
But if you're a good agent, you're going to have the conversations with people that are difficult that, you know, are going to have an impact on their life.
Right.
So, you know, people have life insurance through work. They think that's it. They got it. They're good.
Right.
And what many people don't know is if that they leave that job or they retire or get fired or downsize or something like that, goodbye. You have no more life insurance.
Right. You don't get the cake.
Right. When I left Bloomberg, you know, I had, you know, $100,000 or $150,000 in life insurance that they offer, which is great. But when I left, poof, I didn't have anything anymore.
Pretty much the next day it was gone.
As soon as I walked out of that building,
right,
it's gone. That's it. It's over. And really is us educating people about that and sort of letting them know, hey, you should have something independent that you're able to control and right. take and change. Every time there's an open enrollment, the company can just decide, we don't want to offer this anymore.
Right.
Or we want to cut it in half.
Right.
Or we want to whatever. You're not the one in control of the policy that's going to help protect your family.
Right.
Right. So that's one of the things that, you know, we spend a lot of our time on. It can be a difficult conversation to have.
As a seasoned broker now, it's like,
because the thing that I tell people all the time, you know, the mortgage company makes you get home insurance.
Mm-hmm.
The state kind of sort of makes you get car insurance,
mm-hmm.
but you may never, ever use those things
right.
ever.
Well, that's the thing. It's better to have it than not need it.
Right. But life insurance, you're 100% going to need it.
Right.
That claim is going to come at some point. It's not a matter of
the Reaper.
If, it's when. That's 100%. So, you know, that's one of the things that I feel like is probably the most important thing that we talk about
right.
with people.
And you're probably extremely passionate about it now since you've got a baby.
Exactly. There's so many people that, you know, State Farm, I feel like our agency, we serve all types of demographics, right? But the people that I find the most benefit from it are like lower income to like middle market people, because the companies that are out there that have life insurance are not serving these communities whatsoever.
Right.
They want to talk to people that have, you know, $1 million in liquid assets and all these types of things. And it's like, well, who's talking to us
right.
about this thing that's very important, that people have built family empires and businesses and been able to pass down things. You know, people have generational wealth where a lot of other folks.
You can hear the passion.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know.
Like you really, you're in it now.
Because you hear the stories and you know about it and right. you see people that have generational debt. Like they're just passing stuff down right. to, and it's like if you have the responsibility to be able to do something like that now while you're right. alive and well and do it, I can help you. We can help you do that.
Okay.
All right. So.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for that yeah. passion. That was like, I like that. So I asked you to submit three questions.
Sure.
So what in business keeps you up at night?
What in business keeps me up at night?
That's a question that you wrote. Maybe it doesn't keep you up anymore.
No, I mean, because we literally just had this. The thing in the business that keeps me up at night is somebody comes in.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great long meeting. We talk about the life insurance. And a person walks out and says, okay, I don't want to put anything down. I'm just going to come back later and do it. And then they step outside and something happens to them.
Yeah, I've heard that happen.
It does happen.
Yeah.
It has happened.
But that's why people think it's like to get insurance is like putting juju on themselves.
I mean, we've heard everything.
That.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to do it because that's when I'm going to die. All right. Okay.
Well, that's the best time to do it.
That's one way of looking at it.
All right. And so what would be a major career highlight for you?
Having one of my team members start and open their own State Farm. That would be a major career highlight.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And... yeah, we just talked about life insurance. It is necessary.
100%.
And then you've got here life, disability, commercial. What's commercial?
Commercial is like another State Farm, a barbershop, deli, a bodega, box trucks, all those types of things.
Got it.
Doctor's offices.
All right. Got it. All right. So what else? Did somebody just call in? Oh. Come on, people, call in and give us some more questions. Say hello to Iman and give him a shout out. I want to give a shout out. Oh, Sandra, hi. Sherry, Miles. Miles is on. Good job, Iman and Noreen.
Okay.
Anthony Phillips. Amy is on. Dawn Rose. And John E. Sumter. No relation. So tell me something, about yourself that, maybe, you know, we'd find interest. How do you sell yourself to people? Like how do you know people come in? I mean, you're personable, but like people come in and they want to work with, what is the experience that they get in your office? So I walked into your office. What is the experience that I get?
Sure.
Insurance agencies, as I remember them, used to be really dusty places. They just occurred really dusty.
Right. The first thing that if you enter my office, we greet you with a handshake and a smile.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the first way to open up any type of relationship.
Uh-huh.
And that's what everything is a relationship,
right?
And, you know, you get offered water and then, you know, the person at the front tries to determine, okay, what are you here for? What can we help you with?
Right.
And is it your current customer and we're just trying to help you out with something there? And the person usually comes with some sort of, you know, they have a motive. They know what they want to do. Oh, I want to see if I can get a quote on car insurance. Oh, I'm about to buy a house and I want to figure out home insurance or something like that. In the rare instance, you do have people come in looking for life insurance, but that's super rare. It's usually something that they're being forced to do.
Right. And who forces them? It's,
you know, either the state, you need to get car insurance, or the dealership, hey, you have to get car insurance, or... okay. The mortgage company, you're about to get a home. And then we use that opportunity to talk about the other ways that we can help them out in their life.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So I just got distracted there for a second.
Yeah, sure.
I just got excited because there's a caller on the line. How exciting. Who is this?
Hello. How's everyone doing?
Hold on a second. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Whom are we speaking
to? This is a great informative program tonight. I was calling to find out how we could get in contact with Iman. He's been very knowledgeable tonight. We just want to know how we can get in contact to get more information.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, you can call the office at 718-975-3420. Or you can visit the website. It's weinsurenyc.com. Once again, that's weinsurenyc.com.
And that's your personal email?
that's the personal website. Uh-huh. On there you have contact information you can put in. Right. Either myself or any one of my team members will get back in touch with you with anything that you may need.
And thanks. How do you act? Because I just went on I just call, dial in, mm-hmm. Allstate, and I get an agent. That's right. What I did.
Right.
So, like, if they want the personal touch, they want you.
They call that number or they go to that website. That's 718-975-3420. So the office is closed right now. But uh-huh. if you were to call that number, they would make sure that you get liaised directly with my agency, my office.
Right. Is there something that you'd like to insure? Hello? No. She's gone. Oh, well, if there's something that you'd like to insure, again, give the number.
718-975-3420.
Okay, great. So we're nearly at the top of the hour, right? We got one and a half minutes, 1.5 seconds to go. So Iman, I would like to thank you for being on the show. I think we made it sexy, don't you?
I think so.
I think we had a lot of callers stay on. The duration was great. So
yes, this was fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. I really, really enjoyed the conversation. And we should do this again.
Absolutely.
So good night to Iman's family and friends.
Good night,
thank you for calling in. This is Noreen Sumter signing off from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on the show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.